to everyone, one and all. This here is Amelia's Weekly Fish Fry, coming to you from eejournal.com. I'm Amelia Dalton, and this week I hope you're prepared, because we're about to blow some stuff up. That's right. We're blowing up the semiconductor and EDA industries with semiconductor and non-volatile memory powerhouse Xerxes Wania, who may just have one of the best names in all of EDA. I'm just saying. Anyway, Xerxes is here to look into the future of the semiconductor and EDA industries. What are our biggest challenges, weaknesses, and heck, what we can do about it. Welcome, Xerxes. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you, Amelia.
So first off, let's talk about the future of the semiconductor industry, and in particular, the boots on the ground. Now, what do you think about the future of innovation and, frankly, the lack of engineers coming into the field today?
Yeah, that's a great question, Amelia. You know, I've been thinking about this for the past 10 years. Every time I come to DAC or any of these, let's call it engineering sort of meets, the bigger ones, and I look at people around me and I hardly see new faces. And even if there are new faces, if they're, let's call it, the more matured faces than young thoughts coming in. When I got into this industry, I think the average age at that time was maybe around 30. And 20 years have gone by, and I think the average age has just moved with my age. And I'm thinking, wow, there's something seriously wrong here. So I think it's going to be a little bit troublesome in the future if it's not already. We try to hire engineers. And again, what we're trying to do now is to actually hire engineers from university and train them, because I think there are some very senior engineers, but they're few and far between. So the only way we can encourage people to do what we do, and that's memory, non-volatile memory, which is, again, a very, very narrow niche, is to train them and pay them while we're training them and so on and get them on board.
So let's talk in particular about the future of memory in the semiconductor industry. Now, where do you think non-volatile memory fits into that future?
Yeah, so the non-volatile memory is a big part. I mean, when we started, we thought it was, again, a little bit of a niche that a handful of verticals would use non-volatile memory. But what we found is, especially one-time programmable memory, which is what we do, and it's anti-fuse based. And what we found is that we started off with using it for RFID, or our customers were using it as an RFID tag solution. And what we found is we've proliferated in almost every type of electronic you can imagine. So the phones you're using, we've got 4, 5, 6 instances of our memory in the chips that phones are using, for everywhere from touchscreen control to for security and so on. And I think that's going to move forward into the IoT as well. So I think NVM is now getting extremely important, especially one-time programmable memory. And it's being used in tons of different verticals. So I'd say about 90% of the verticals out there, electronic chips, are using or will be using one-time programmable memory.
So Xerxes, the semiconductor industry is facing a myriad of different challenges, from Moore's Law to this engineering deficit we mentioned. But if you had to think about the biggest challenge facing the semiconductor industry today, what do you think that would be?
I think it would be the lack of people, actually the lack of startups, the innovation. And if you look around and you talk to the larger companies, they'll admit that the innovation really comes from startups who try and fail, try and fail, try and succeed. And when you try and succeed and you get successful, that's when the bigger companies say, okay, I want that. That environment has just died. I can count on one hand on how many new semiconductor companies have been funded. I think that's a huge problem for innovation. And the focus now is on, let's call it IoT and big data and stuff. But what is big data? What is IoT? How are we going to use it? All those kind of questions that haven't been answered yet. So I think the root is going to be the lack of startups, and the environment needs to change.
I think you're very right, Xerxes. So how about a happier question? I know in your spare time you do woodworking. Now, you have a most recent project. Tell my audience about that.
Sure. We're up in Canada, so it gets cold pretty quickly, and I'm an outdoor person. It kind of gets rough in the winter, so I have a hobby that keeps me indoors, and that's woodworking, as you mentioned. And the weeks coming up to Christmas, we have a friend and whose daughter's really, really cute. So I said, you know what? I got to build her something. I couldn't figure out what it would be. And I looked around, and I said, no, that you can buy, that you can buy. So I actually found a really good design for a rocking horse. And it had a lot of technical challenges. It was bending the wood. It was, you know, all those kind of things. So I said, that's a great project. Well, it took me way longer than I thought. But she's a happy girl and she loves it. And I get videos of that. I just love it. That part is great.
That's wonderful. Well, I think that's all I have time for today. Thank you so much for joining me, Xerxes. It's always a pleasure speaking with you.
Thank you, Amelia.
Now, folks, let's talk about inductive sensing. It's reliable, accurate, and robust, and it can do windows, too. Okay, I made up that last one. Inductive sensing can be used for a wide variety of position, rotation, metal detection, and spring compression measurement applications. But how can you utilize this newest inductive sensing technologies in your next design? Well, you should definitely check out my newest episode of Chalk Talk entitled Inductance to Digital Converters Revolutionize Position and Rotation Sensing. In this episode, I sit down with Anjana Govil from Texas Instruments and talk about how you can use inductance to digital converters to take advantage of inductive sensing in your next design. You can check out this episode by heading on over to YouTube, keyword EE Journal, by clicking the link below the player on this week's fish frying page on eejournal.com, or by heading on over to the on-demand section of EE Journal. Hey, have you checked out EE Journal on social media yet? Well, you should. You can find us at facebook.com/EEJournal. If you're into Twitter, you can monitor our tweets at EEJournalTFM. And hey, if Google Plus is your thing, you can also join our circle on Google Plus. We also have that YouTube channel I mentioned earlier, keyword EE Journal, chock full of all kinds of techie videos, our very own Chalk Talk webcast series, and our video series called On the Scene. And you can also subscribe to that EE Journal YouTube channel as well. Also, by clicking the links below the player on this week's Fish Fryin' page, you can also grab our Fish Fryin' RSS feed or subscribe to Fish Fry via the iTunes Store. And remember, if you want any further information about the stories covered in today's show, head on over to eejournal.com and look for this week's Fish Fryin' page. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. If you know of any cool new technology, any fun EE conference coming up that I absolutely should attend, or perhaps the best geeky hotspot in your city, shoot me a line at amelia@eejournal.com or post a comment on our forums on EE Journal. For the week of June 26th, 2015, I'm Amelia Dalton, and you've been fried.